It's good to be in the Lord's house. I was studying a little bit this week on worship, and of course it covers a big broad brush. That's not what I'm preaching on. This is just kind of what I'm thinking about right now. But worship comes from the heart. We pin a lot of things on worship and a lot of superficial stuff. We're superficial people, creatures, so to speak. But still, what it all boils down to is your heart. Being really thankful from the heart for what God has done. And that is worship. That is worship. Like I say, we can put a lot of things on it. As you turn it over to Hebrews, we can put a lot of things and a lot of categories in worship. And still boils down to where our heart is and our thankfulness there. We can get to a point in our Christian life a lot of times, though, where we get kind of mundane in our life. And that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about, preaching about a little bit this morning. I preached this similar message over at the tent meeting, and I kept thinking about it. I've been thinking about it ever since then, because it kind of helped me a little bit. And as backslid as I am, if it's going to help me a little bit, surely it'll help somebody out there. So we're going to look at Hebrews just a little bit. Chapter 12, we're going to be reading a little bit in chapter 12. Love the book of Hebrews. Wonderful, wonderful book. Mainly dealing with the Jews that had been saved, born again. And they didn't have the precious scripture that we have, the laid out Bible as we had. So they struggled a lot with doctrine and what to do. And that henceforth, that's where Hebrews came from. Wonderful book. And it talks a lot about and tries to get the Jews to understand how much better Christ is than their old law and their way of worship and how they used to do things. And even their faith and everything. Hebrews is the book that points them in the right direction. I mean, you imagine hundreds and hundreds of years of going to a priest and, you know, offering bulls and for an animal sacrifice for you, the atonement of your sins, and all of a sudden Christ came, died on an old rugged cross, and all of a sudden that's no good anymore. You can imagine the turmoil that they went through and the confusion. You can surely see that. But this really talks about it. And then chapter 12 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. We're going to look in the back of the end of chapter 11 just to get a little bit started here. Just kind of a little platform to start on. The whole 11th chapter has to deal with faith, the old saints in the faith, Moses. And you can read through, and you probably have 100 times, I'm sure, looked at the faith of the forefathers. And at the last two verses in that book, in Hebrews chapter number 11, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They were pointed toward Calvary. They were pointed toward Christ in the Old Testament. A lot of prophecy concerning Christ and redemption. But they didn't get to see and experience what me and you that's sitting in the church this morning have experienced the grace of God like we have. No doubt the grace of God has always been grace, always has been. Nothing new. When the New Testament come around, God just dealt with grace in a different way to redeem his bride. And I can say hallelujah right there to the bride. I'm glad I'm part of his bride, amen. But it says here, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Not having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. A few things here now. Kind of, I was reading this. As I was kind of studying this, I got to thinking about an illustration. Several years ago, my son Nicholas went to the state championships on his ball team, baseball team. Now, some of y'all can shout there. On sports. No, I'm not going to go down there. I'm just messing with you. But they wound up going to the state championship down in Goldsboro. Hot country down there. And they did good all season. They were a small team. They went to a Christian school over in Asheville. So they were a small team. And they played several other Christian schools throughout North Carolina, some big, some small. But they had played against a lot of bigger teams. They had played against and struggled through. And they made it to the state championships. And everybody was shouting hallelujah because, honestly, they really shouldn't have been there. They were, the ones they were going up against, bigger teams, bigger players, and but they'd made it to state championships, and it was a great accomplishment. You know, we were really proud of them. You're always proud of your young ones. But we were down there, and they played a game, you know, and did well, and they advanced to the semifinals. And honestly, everybody was shouting because, you know, hey, they've made it to the semifinals, which was, like I said, a great accomplishment because you could see the dugout where we were at, and everybody was in. The other dugout, they were overflown, you know, just people everywhere. But what I got to notice, and this is what was starting to take place. I noticed it when I was standing there watching them out in the field, and I'd watch how they would go from inning to inning, even how they even carried themselves when they would, the innings were starting to switch because they got behind a point or two, you know, and the next thing you know, it's just like a light switch hit. And all of a sudden, their mind had just drifted completely away from what they were doing. I realized they were tired and hot, and there's a lot of excitement from all the things that had been taking place, but they were in the game. And their job of what they was to do, whether it was fielding, whether it was first, second, third base, whatever, catcher, whatever, they were starting to mope around. And of course, the parents, you know, I wasn't one of these parents that get too crazy, but you know, I said, boys, come on now. You're in the championships here. Let's pick it up a notch, you know. That's what we were telling him. And this is a lot what Hebrews is doing here. These old, the Jews that had been converted here to Christians were in a place they seemed like they didn't really know which way to go. They were kind of rolling through their Christian life much as we do. And I believe this is what the Lord kind of is trying to encourage us to realize, to get our heads back in the game. Listen, folks, we're blessed. We're a blessed people. And in that, we lose our focus, just like these boys did. They were the good boys. But I got to notice, and boy, they would come in to the dugout after they come from the outfield, and they'd switch after they batted their round of batting to go back in the outfield. Some of them even forgot their glove in the dugout. I mean, that's how out of focus they were. And what finally beat them? They lost the game, and their head was not even in the game. It was so noticeable. I said, hey, coach, come here just a minute. I said, these boys have just absolutely lost all focus. They're leaving their gloves in the dugout, and you're not even trying to pep them up. I says, coach, pep them up a little bit. Try to lift these boys up a little bit. Brag on them a little bit. Tell them and remind them what they've done and do this thing for the glory of God. It doesn't matter the outcome because we had no control over the outcome. But listen, let's do what we need to be doing for the glory of God while we're here doing this thing. And that applies to our church also and our own Christian lives. It's listen what we're doing, church. Listen to me. We're doing this for the glory of God and nothing else. Honestly, coming in here to church and singing and preaching and ushering and whatever, Sunday school, everything we're doing is for the glory of God. And if we're not doing it for the glory of God, if we're doing it to please some man, we're in the wrong position. Amen? Everything we do is for the glory of God. But I tried to get that coach. I said, listen, coach, get in that dugout, call a timeout, whatever you need to do, and talk to these boys. And he was just like them. I said, come on, coach, y'all have come a long way here. You have. I was trying to get him to go tell them, to encourage, to get their head back in the game. But it was just, all the way to the end, it was just, you know how we come in. And you know how we go back out, don't we? And you know how we go to work the next morning? You know what I'm saying? We'll go to a ball game, or we'll go out to eat, or we'll go to some event, and it's never even thinking about Christ, never even thinking about glorifying God the Father with giving somebody the gospel. We'll focus on trying to be good, not cussing somebody out or something like that, but as far as witnessing or doing something, you know, for the glory of God, our minds are far from it. We got to get, smile at me, church. We got to get our heads back in the game. And I believe what this little section of Scripture will help us to see that we need to get our heads back in the game, because he's got a whole list of things here for us to remind us. First of all, as we look right here in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I mean, that's the first thing. You look back in chapter 11 at our forefathers, Moses. You read the chapter and you see what they went through. You see it even mentions about the martyrs of the faith and all they had went through. Those are our witness. Those are for me and you to look back to see where our life needs to be. An example for me and you where our faith needs to be. Now, I'll be the first to admit, my faith is weak. But I'm glad I'm riding in on the faith of the Son of God. I'll tell you that right now. But honestly, now look at me. You can think of some folks in your life, some old saints of God that you can remember, your family, your grandparents. I had some wonderful grandfather. Man, he was a saint of God. If he ever was, they'd come get him to go pray when they had a drought several years ago. He said, hold on a minute. I'm going to go get my umbrella. That was just his mindset. You know, and I think of these things, and it encourages me. I've told you about a dear old aunt that I had, Aunt Martha Lannon. She was a great saint of God, ate up with cancer, bless her heart, but she was a trooper, like some troopers we know that's been in the same boat. They're inspiring to us. They really are. And she was one of them. How many times in church she'd go to an old altar, and I'd say, Aunt Martha, can I pray with you? She'd say, my family's lost. She wasn't thinking about her sickness so much as she was that her family was lost. Man, that was encouraging to me to see that. Went and visited her in the hospital, a bunch of us young preachers, you know, looking for something to grab onto and to hold on to as a young person in Christ, looking for someone to be an example, to help us say something to encourage us. That was Aunt Martha. She said, boys, you just get up there and preach whatever thus saith the Lord, and let it land where it lands. That's what she'd tell us. We'd go visit her in the hospital. She'd just eat completely up, and she didn't want to talk about what was wrong with her. She wanted to talk about the church, or she wanted to talk about the Lord, or she tried to encourage us. And I'm telling you, those things in our lives are so, so important to us younger generation. Having said that, all you folks out there that's over 50 or 60 that's starting to get a few gray hairs, y'all look at me just a minute. 70, 80. Y'all look at me just a minute. Y'all looking at me and smile, so I know you're looking at me. Y'all are who we look to. Listen, you don't know how encouraging it is to see a saint of God that's been faithful, that's been through the hurdles, been through the bumps of the road in this Christian life, and still there to encourage us on. I'm telling you, don't stop. Honestly, if you've been in this fight for a long time, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, in this Christian battle, look at me. You grab a hold of a young teenager's hand, okay? You go talk to them. Encourage them about being faithful in the Lord. Don't just sit around and just say, well, I've done my part. No, your part's just beginning. Honestly, it really is. Look here. You're one of those witnesses of the faith. We can't put your name in chapter 11, but you're really no different than them, because we look to the Bible and these in the Old Testament to encourage us. It's the same here. Now, y'all don't knock out on me. You keep your head in the game, or we'll get down there and preach beside you. Amen. Amen. But honestly, when the writer of Hebrews points us to this, this is just a start. Honestly, church, this is just a start, just a little bitty point about helping us to keep our head in the game and be mindful. I know we're busy. I understand that. We all have got a list of things a mile long that we can't get done. We got another list we're trying to get done. And then we got another list that is very small that we have got done. But it's finding the balance and in our mindset and where our heart is in all of this. All right? Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, look what he says here. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Here's another little point about keeping our head in the game. Now, I noticed these boys, when they were in the game, There would be a lot of distractions, you know. I mean, you know how little boys are. I mean, when they, you know, a butterfly flies by, they just, a bird. If a groundhog gets on the field, game over, you know. I mean, the distractions that come our way. I mean, it can be minute, but he's talking about sin. And I believe he is talking to the folks in Hebrews and the Jews that have been converted to be mindful of the sin that easily besets us. I'm telling you, we got a lot of good Pharisees nowadays in our churches that don't even think they sin. God help us. Some of the most spiritual people in the church are the ones that acknowledge their sin and how sinful they really are. But there's things in our life that cause us to be distracted from the good fight of faith that the Lord has got us in. Amen. So these things we need to lay aside, whatever they may be. Look here. It may be attitude. 99.9% of the time, that's what it is. Because something has distracted us. Something has got us off of the blessings that the Lord has given us. If we lose everything we have, we're blessed if we've been born again. Amen. And laying these things aside. I mean, we could get a list. I'm sure got a lot of good legalistic Baptists has got a list they could probably give you. Say amen. To do this. And we've got, look here. I go a lot of places and preach in a lot of different places. And honestly, it almost sickens me at the list that people have of things not to do, where no mention whatsoever of worshiping the Lord is. And drawing close to Him. We have got to a point in our Christian life, we're more focused on the don't do this stuff list than we ought to be getting closer to Jesus list. Amen? Not that we shouldn't take care of things. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying just be freewheeling out here and do anything you want. But these are some things, we don't need to be legalistic about things. Honestly. Amen. Amen. I will amen if you don't. Amen. I have learned, I'm kind of like Apostle Paul. I have learned over the years, you got to amen yourself every now and then. But lay these things aside, the weight and the sin that besets us. Now look here what he's saying right here. Let us run with patience. Now, I'm not going to get in a race running, I can tell you that. My body's not equipped for running. It don't work that way. Just a short space and I'm done. But mainly what he's talking about with patience. You younger generation, I'm 50 now, I can say younger generation. Have I earned that almost? Almost? The younger folks, listen to me. One of the greatest battles I had when I was a young Christian in Christ was trying to hurry up and get this and obtain that and do this as far as a Christian goes. I learned a long time ago, bite off a little bit at a time. The Lord will show you. The main idea is to keep our focus. The same way with the church. We need to run this race that the Lord has got Bethel in. That the Lord has got Bethel Baptist Church in. Run the race that God has got us in. Keep our head in the game. Look here. Encourage one another. Have you ever seen a baseball team or a football team that's kind of getting down in the slumps? And then another player get over there and start talking to them and encourage them. I mean, we don't want to encourage them like some of the language that they use, but we still want to encourage each other in the Lord. Listen, church, honestly, we can sit here on Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning and not do a thing for the Lord. We can sit here and just go out the same way we come in and listen to message after message after message, song after song after song, blessing after blessing after blessing, and grow so accustomed to it, we get to a point in our Christian life we're not doing nothing but coming to church. What good's that doing? Amen. Amen. There's a lot more to this Christian life than sitting on a church pew. This is where we come to worship. Amen. This is where we come to be attentive to the message God's laid on your preacher's heart. To listen to it, not fight against him. Amen. To listen to the message, not fight against it. Amen on that one right there. Lord, help us if we was to sit on a church pew, not listen to your pastor. God, help us if we're getting that kind of attitude and that kind of sort in our life. There's something wrong with you when you get to that point. You've lost focus. Your head's not in the game. Your head is in your life and your agenda. It's not where the Lord would have you. It's so important for us, you know, to realize, to keep our head in the game. Run this race with patience. These things with patience. Now look here. That is set before us. Now look here at me. Everybody look at me. Here I tell you to read, then I say look. You don't know what to do, do you? Welcome to my mind. I don't know half the time what to do either. But when he says right here, the race is set before us. Look here at me. We've all got a position here. We've all look here. When you play in a ball team, we've all got a place, don't we? We've all got a function. It's the same way with the body of Christ. If you help Brent vacuum the floor, bless his wife, you're working in the body of Christ. If you're preaching a message, that's part of the body of Christ. If you're sitting there praying seriously for the preacher and for the folks that's singing, glory to God, you're in the body of Christ. Enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy the race the Lord has got you in. If you're playing the piano, say hallelujah. I'm part of the body of Christ. I tell you, some of the greatest people in the body of Christ is some of these old prayer warriors. Their bodies may not be able to do what they used to do, but earnestly, in their heart, I'm telling you, this is where the riches are. In their heart, they're praying. In their heart, they're praying for Brother Darren that God the Holy Ghost would run him slap over and give him a message. In their heart, they're praying for the church. In their heart, they're praying for the sick. The very heart, they're talking about the deep riches of God. Listen, that is wonderful, wonderful when people are like that. You know, their heart is in it. Man, that's when your mind and your heart's in the game is folks like that. They're concerned. They want things to go. But anyway, run with patience the race that is set before us. Now look here. This is one place we forget a lot of times in our Christian life, and we get our head out of the game. Now look here at me. In verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, look here, the author and the finisher of the faith. So many times we lose track of that, don't we? How many times? Look at me and be honest with yourself. Don't raise your hand because it'd incriminate all of us. How many times have we really lost focus of Christ in our life? How many days have gone by that we've really not acknowledged what he's done in our life? Honest. Amen. I mean, it's just us here. It ain't but, you know, maybe 20 or 30 listening. But how many days have we gone by and not really acknowledged the Lord in our lives and what he's done? Lord, could we all raise our hands on that one right there? Now, there may be one or two of you that's top drawer out there that's got it, you know, but that's okay too. Praise the Lord for you. You need to pray for me then, because I miss it. But he's telling and encouraging those folks, listen, these things that are holding you back, these things that kind of keep you from running this race with patience, this thing that has got you to a point in your Christian life, you don't feel what you used to in church. You don't feel the same. You don't have the encouragement from the Lord that you used to have, that joy in your Christian life. You know, like when you first got saved, the joy, everything was fresh and new and exciting. Man, you just couldn't wait to come to church. You just couldn't wait to be in some kind of Bible fellowship or talk about the Lord. What happened to you? Where did you go? You see what I'm saying? You don't have your head in the game anymore. You've not headed out of track in how, no telling how long. You've laid your Bible aside somewhere over here and got a cookbook out or one of them other magazines. Hot Rod magazine or fishing, game, whatever. I mean, those things are fine. I like cookbooks myself. I like women that like cookbooks too. But everything's got its place. Where is, honestly, look here at me. The race the Lord has got you in, what has got you hindered? Your head is not where it used to be. That closeness, that communion that you used to have with the Lord, where is it? Better yet, who you blaming? Well, that blessed preacher we got. No, it ain't that blessed preacher you got. It's that blessed attitude you got. Oh, that blessed deacon. No, it ain't that blessed deacon. It's your blessed attitude toward things. You have got religious and forgot about the work of the Lord. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen right there. All right. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. Now look here. Boy, this is good stuff. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was his joy and crown? What was Christ's joy and crown? What did he come here for? To redeem his bride. That's his joy. He had to endure the cross. He had to endure the pain, the suffering, the shame, the nails, the scars, the pulling out the hair, the spitting, the cussing, everything. He endured. He endured for me and you. To redeem us to him, that we may be his bride. We should be looking at that. We forget about that so much. Now look here, just a little bit more. Endured the cross, despising his shame. And look at this, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. You know what that's signifying? His work's finished. It's accomplished what he's done. Before the foundation of the world, the plan of God before the foundation of the world was finished in Christ as far as redemption goes. Now, he's going to rule and reign later on, you know, I understand that. But as far as redemption goes, it's taking place. Now, look here. For consider him, in verse 3, that endured such contradiction of sinners. Look here. You've not went through what he's went through. I know one of the great things we as Christians to get our mind off focus is our pity party. My old pastor that passed on here a couple of weeks ago, Brother Rhodes, he'd say, you've done went and took the pooch lip. You've got to that point. You've come there. You've blamed everybody else. You've just mad at the world. All these things. Woe is me. We'll have our pity parties. We all go through hard times. Some more so than others, but we find ourselves in a pity party. How many's ever done that? Don't raise your hands. Everybody. How many's done it? A pity party. But he's trying to show us. Now, wait a minute. Get your head back here. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He fought against sinners. He fought against people cussing him and throwing stuff at him. We've never endured stuff like that. How many's ever had somebody thrown something at them because of their Christian belief? I had a mater one time throw it at me, and somebody threw a joint at me one time because I had the Ten Commandments over in Asheville. I didn't get neither one of them. So say hallelujah to that. But look at what he went through. All the things he went through. Now look here. Against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. See what he's trying to tell me and you? We can get to a position in our Christian life, we get to thinking, oh, woe is me, woe is me. And we grow weary and faint. It just says so right here. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In other words, you didn't have to give your life's blood for sin. Did you? No. Well, consider him that did. For my sins and for your sins. He's going on with this. You know, remember these things. Lay these things aside. Quit having a pity party. Remember what Christ has done for you. Get your head back in the game. We've got a job to do. We've got a race set before us. These things we need to lay aside that we can do this for the glory of God and not for the approval of man. Say amen right there. All right. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, unto the children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. We could go on and on about that. We could go on and on about several things there. But I just want to stop right there and just kind of talk to you a little bit. Went through all that just to talk to you. We all go through our battles. Man, the financial things that are taking place in all of our lives right now, jobs, we don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us. Everything just seems like it's on an eggshell right now, financially speaking. Economically speaking, things are going down. And it's going to continue to go down. It might get a little better along the way. That's kind of my opinion about the thing. It's going to be more trying as time goes on. Our faith is going to be tried more and more and more. And I'm not telling you it's going to, this thing, you ain't blowed your nose, have you? Honestly, it's going to get more trying. Look at me. It's going to get harder and harder to make it every day financially. It is. It is. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not going to, I don't believe in that anyway. I know a lot of rich people just deny God. I know a lot of saints of God that ain't got a dime, but they're rich in Christ. But I'm telling you, look at me, church. It is vitally important for the life of Bethel Baptist Church and every church there is on this earth to get our head back in the game. Lay some things aside. Stop having our pity parties. Quit blaming everybody. Stop your agenda. Look at me. Your agenda ought to be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All the way. Hallelujah. Lord, all said, say hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah on that right there. Now listen, I hope you got a little something with this message. If the lady that plays the piano, where is she? Sister, would you come up here and play Amazing Grace? Sweetly and softly, as you usually do, please. The best song. And listen, after you've heard the message, and you hear this Amazing Grace, there's not a one of us here that's not been touched by the amazing grace of God. Now listen, church, he's reaching out to me and you, I believe with all my heart. He wants our head in the game. He wants our head in the game. More than that, he wants our heart in the game. Amen. So if you can, if you want to, I hope you do, want to come to this old altar and just beg for him. He's not asking much. He just wants your heart. He don't need your wallet. He has everything. He wants your heart, your want to, your desire, your head in the game to serve him. That's what he's looking for.